The wording of the Affordable Care Act and the decision by 36 states to opt out of the insurance marketplace system, the so-called exchanges, some states motivated clearly by politics, all of this may threaten the whole system of subsidies for low-income people under the ACA. That's a major incentive for Americans to sign up for the Affordable Care Act. Joining us now to help us understand two preliminary and contradictory judicial rulings yesterday on the ACA that call all of this into question is our good friend Mary Agnes Carey, reporter for Kaiser Health News. Mary, thanks for taking the time.
Thanks for having me.
So two judicial rulings that I guess coincidentally came on the same day, one of which says that in the opt-out states, the federal government can't offer subsidies because the law says the subsidies can only come from state-initiated exchanges. Do I have that right?
That's right. That was the D.C. Court of Appeals ruled that the subsidies are only to be available to people in the 14 states in the District of Columbia that now operate their own health insurance exchanges. They said the law was very clear on that. But as you note, there was a separate ruling that came down 2 hours later from the Fourth Circuit, which is based in Richmond, Virginia. And there, the judges unanimously upheld the subsidies as they are created in the law. And they said, while there was some ambiguous wording, that the Internal Revenue Service had the ability and the power to interpret the law to mean that no matter where you reside, if you are in a exchange, you have the right to get a subsidy.
And the IRS is the regulatory authority here under this particular provision of the ACA. Is that right?
That's right. You've got several agencies, the Department of Health and Human Services, the Treasury Department, the Labor Department, and the Internal Revenue Service is under Treasury. So they made this ruling a while ago. It's part of the basis of the legal challenge from folks who'd say, we don't want to have to buy health insurance as individuals, or if some of the employers involved in the cases don't want to provide it for their workers.
Now, why would someone file a lawsuit to have the effect of taking benefits away from low-income people who've signed up for the ACA? I'm not really understanding that.
These litigants argue it differently. What they say is that they say that the way the law is written, subsidies are only to be provided through an exchange established by the state, and that neither the IRS or anyone else in the Obama administration can go beyond that wording and interpret it differently. One of the folks who's been very active in this acknowledged yesterday, yes, this may mean that some people lose subsidies, but it really means they weren't supposed to get them in the first place, again, if their argument prevails. But it's highly unclear whether this particular ruling, the one saying the exchanges are only available to those in the state-based, available to those in the state-based exchanges, it's unclear whether that's the final word.
And the White House said yesterday none of this will have an impact on subsidies anytime soon. The question of what was the intent of the Affordable Care Act, and again, the district court ruling that you're talking about is just a three-judge panel. The entire D.C. Circuit still has to rule on it, so it's a preliminary of a preliminary, and it could still go to the Supreme Court. Was the law written before there was any notion that this many states would opt out of the exchanges after the law was passed?
It's my memory of covering the whole debate about the healthcare law that they wanted to entice states, they wanted to have states set up their own exchanges, and they thought ultimately states would. The thought was that states would take the grants to set up the exchanges, that governors and state legislatures wouldn't want the federal government in their state setting up the exchanges. But as we saw, once the law was passed, how the political heat got turned up, a lot of Republican governors simply decided, we don't want anything to do with this. We don't want a grant to set up an exchange. We don't want to spend any of our money or any of our time doing this. And so it became really a rallying cry for many Republican governors and state legislatures. And so they decided simply not to set up the exchanges. I don't think anyone anticipated that you would have 36 states where the federal government is running those exchanges. I think that was far beyond the belief of the founders and the creators of this health law.
And so it's certainly a legitimate charge, and the judges are correct, and they reluctantly ruled in the language from the D.C. Circuit yesterday that there is ambiguity in the law. But in general, it's your experience, Mary Agnes Carey, that when the federal government gives money to the states, they typically take it, just not here.
That's right. And another surprise has been in a prior Supreme Court ruling where the Medicaid expansion was made optional from states. I have never seen governors turn down Medicaid money ever, and I've been in Washington now for 20 years, and that has been a big surprise for a lot of folks. You have about half the states right now that have expanded Medicaid under the health law, and the federal government is picking up 100% of the cost of that expansion for the first 3 years, and then it tapers down to 90%, so states would ultimately have to pay the 10% share, but there was great surprise, number one, that the expansion of Medicaid was made optional by the Supreme Court, and secondly, that so many governors, many of them Republican, have declined to expand and accept that federal money.
You may not know the answer to this question, and if you don't, just give us some final thoughts before we go. Who's paying the legal fees on these lawsuits, and where do you think this goes a year from now?
I think opponents of the health care law, various groups, various funders, are paying the legal fees on this. And so the thing to watch is, as you mentioned earlier, the full D.C. Court of Appeals, the administration is going to ask that full D.C. Court of Appeals to rule in this case. If they strike down the ruling yesterday that forbid the subsidies in exchanges other than the states, you have a situation where you wouldn't have a lot of tension between the courts so far. So that may mean the Supreme Court does or does not accept this case, or ultimately the Supreme Court could decide that it will accept the case for review. We've got to remember there's a couple of other similar cases pending, one in Oklahoma and one in Indiana, so we've got to keep our eyes on those as well.
Mary Agnes Carey is a reporter for Kaiser Health News. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.